Okay, we're on the Rambam Hilchos Ratzeach Shmiras HaNefesh in the Moznaim text. We're on page 576 and 577. We're in Perek Yud, the 10th chapter. Halacha Gimel. Halacha Gimel. We're talking about the various laws of an Egla Rufa. Remember, the Egla Rufa is the animal, the calf, the semi-mature calf, that we break its neck in a valley as a result of a person who was killed, and we don't know who killed him. So we discussed yesterday that it has a semi-state of kachim, of sanctified animals as a korban. On the other hand, it's not a korban. So far we see it is like it's not like a korban, that it can have a blemish because it's not being as a gift to God. So it has certain aspects of a korban, certain aspects not of a korban. It's not a gift to God, but it does give a kapara. So in terms of kapara and atonement, there are certain halachas, but regarding a gift to God, there's different halachas. So we continue with this theme in Halacha now, Gimel. Kol ha'avoidus paisas as ha'egla k'mashe paisim b'par aduma. Any type of work that you do with this calf will render it unfit, similar to the work you do with a par aduma. We know that a par aduma, the red heifer, you're not allowed to work with that animal. If you work with that animal, it renders it unfit to be used as a par aduma. So the Egla Rufa has a similar halacha. Shenemar, it says, asher lo ubad bo, that it was not worked with. So if it's not worked with, and it also says three more words, and has never carried a yoke. Anyway, so if you work it, if it does some plowing, cannot use the Egla Rufa. But it adds the words that it doesn't have a yoke. V'lama nemar, why does it talk about the fact that it never carried a yoke? Acher shenemar, after already said asher lo ubad ba, that no work was done with it. Obviously, shehu kol el ha'ol. If you say no work was done with it, obviously you couldn't have any yoke, because a yoke is used for work. Im shor avodas, with other work. So the answer is to show you there is a something here. Shehaol, when you put a yoke on, posal, it already renders it unfit. Bein bishas malacha, bein shelo bishas malacha. Whether you worked it or not. The act of putting a yoke on it alone renders it unfit, even if you changed your mind, you didn't do any work with it. Kevin shemashcha ba'ol tefach nimsula. Once you put a tefach, a hand's breadth of the yoke on the animal, it becomes unfit. Afal pishlo charash bav la'asuba malacha, even though you didn't plow, didn't do any work with it. That's what it's saying. It's all without malacha. Usharavaris, but other work, ain't posin elat shas malacha, you really have to do the work. So you're ready to get it to plow. You're connecting the plow to the animal, but you haven't moved it yet. Then nothing's the matter yet. It didn't do any work yet. It's connected to the plow, but it hasn't plowed an inch. Nothing. The yoke, once you put the yoke on, that's no good. So that's halacha gimel. Halacha dalet. On the other hand, kol malacha shilat sarko, but if the calf performs any work, but the work is for its own benefit, kegon, peiras taliso oleh mipnei hazvuvim. Let's say you, the owner, you put your garment over the calf, and technically the calf is carrying the garment. But the reason you're putting the garment on it is because there's flies attacking it. And the garment will cover its body, and the flies will not be able to attack it. So technically you could say it's doing a job, it's carrying a garment as it's walking. But what's the reason you're doing it? Because it's for its own benefit. So if its own benefit, we don't consider that work, and therefore ain't a postal will not render it unfit. But on the other hand, v'kol shehi shelo litzarka, but any situation of work where it's not for its benefit, kigon, for example, sheperas talis olel lin nasa, you put your garment on it so it would carry your garment so you would not have to carry it. It's the same activity. Two calves can do the same activity. Sula. But this will be possible because the intention of it is different. V'chein kol kayyitzvizah, and anything else similar to that, which is similar in the case of Para Aduma. So the Orach HaShulchan just adds one little point. Let's say you put a garment on it, but it had not yet walked. Would it be a problem? So if you look carefully, the Rambam says, Kigon Sheperas Taliso Lel Lin Nos'ah. To carry it, to move
it
ahead.
Not to carry it, but the purpose of carrying.
Right, but it's for the purpose of carrying, but it has to have accomplished some malacha. So therefore, if it doesn't do anything, since it didn't do any malacha, it's not possible. similarly to the other. That's the difference between the yoke and other things as well. So similarly, if you put it on, but it didn't yet carry it, didn't do anything, then it's not a problem. Okay, hey, another halacha, how it's similar to a carbon.
What if you put something on it just because you don't want it to walk away? It's not carrying
you
it.
You don't want it to walk away?
What like,
mean?
Like a leash?
Yeah. You're tying it up so it doesn't escape.
I don't know if that would be considered malacha. It's no malacha. It's not doing any malacha. It's no malacha. I don't think it would be a problem. Hey, in orphan as a egla el bayom, you don't break the neck of the calf. Only when can you break it? In the daytime. Lefishenemar bar kapara, because it mentions the concept of kapara, of atonement, and it's kikachim, and it's like kachim. We know kachim, animal offerings, you only bring in the daytime. There's no such thing as bringing it at night. Night is not, we know, mystically, it is not a spiritually auspicious time. It's a time we're trying to stay away from sin, not trying to correct sin. So therefore, daytime is the time for kachim, and in this aspect, again, it's like kachim again. Turning the page. V'chol hayoyim kosher l'arifos, and the entire day is kosher for breaking its neck. Next halacha. V'in orfin shtei agolos kachas, you don't break two necks at a time, two animals at a time. Because we don't make mitzvahs like bundles. It's a famous concept. We don't do two mitzvahs right away, one after the other, because it seems like you're not giving both of them the same respect. Similarly, if you have twin babies, you do not do the bris milah one right after the other. You take a little break, make a little kiddush, something in between, you start something afterwards. You don't make bundles out of mitzvahs. Similarly, if you have two, let's say there were two cases, two people, we already learned that if two people were killed, and we do the measurements, et cetera, et cetera. It's two different egla rufas. So you have to do two egla rufas, but we don't say, okay, we might as well do them in one shot. Just get the one axe and hack, hack, and do them both. No, it's two separate procedures, because each one deserves his, even though you may have think it's the same murderer for all you know. So each person has a respect for each human being that has to be shown, and to show the city that this is a very significant activity that occurred.
Didn't you say before that if 10 guys were killed, you only have to do one if they're well stacked on top of each other?
But we make different measurements, right? We make different measurements for different people.
Only if they're visible.
And no, not
bodies
if,
on top
if,
of them.
Yeah, no, but that's no, because we don't because on top because you don't do any egg
right.
Roof at all. Because they're potter.
The top body
you do. Yeah. But we're saying, what if there's two? But
so if there was 10 bodies scattered.
Then you would do
10. 10 egla rufas.
Yeah.
I think we learned before you only do one for the 10.
I don't think so. I'll have to look again. I'll have to look again. If I'm not mistaken, I think we would do each one. You should find many bodies, one next. You measure each one from his chotem. Yeah. Each one. Shall call echad ve'echadim. Each one is looked at. Even though we could assume they were tarrying together from the same city, we still do each one separately. I'll look again, but if I'm not mistaken. We'll,
it's a number in Halacha 10, it says you bring one calf.
What?
Halacha Yud?
Yeah, Nimsu Mesim Rabbi says that Modi Mechavah shall call echad ve'echad mehem. No. No, Nimsa Zal Gabi said it's different. If one's on top of the other, the
that's
nine, you don't
be
do them because they're covered.
Right.
If, even if you find one guy and he's covered, you don't do egla
right,
rufa.
Right.
That's
no,
a
it says next to each
other. No. Nimsa Zal Gabi said one on top of the other.
Okay.
One on top of the other. Our friend piled one on top of the other. We should measure from the top corpse.
No, the first paragraph.
A measurement should be made from the nose of each one individually.
Okay, go the next line.
If one is discovered to be close to all, it brings one calf for all the corpses.
That's right.
Oh, okay. No need to atone for each one individually. Yes. Okay, so what if you found one and then another one? Like, one was one day, one was a day
that's
after.
That's a different story.
Okay, but you don't find them till later.
Okay. But if you, okay. I'm saying in
okay.
One area.
Okay,
one
so
calf.
It was one slaughter. Okay, I stand corrected. Shkayach. Okay.
So just on that last... last word, or the last two words, habilos, that means bundles?
Bundles.
And how does that differ from the word bundles we learned in the Mishnah?
Kriya. It's a different way of describing a bundle.
But it's the same kind of, same...
Same idea.
Intention?
Same
or?
Idea. Okay, good. But there could be situations where you have two, you need two egla rufas. Yeah, you have two situations. What if it's from, what if you have two bodies, and one is closer to one city, one is closer to the other city, but you're going to have to do the egla rufas in the same valley? Right? If you have two different cities, one's 1 inch closer to one, one's closer to that, you're going to have two Egla Rufas, right? Or what if you know one was killed one day, and then by the time the Besdin comes, another guy got killed? So, and you know, clearly it was the second guy the second time.
That's two.
Yeah, so that would be two. So it's Shaykh two, but you're right. If it's all in one shot, then not. Okay, good. Vav, next halacha. Egla Rufa Asur Bano. An Egla Rufa is prohibited to have any benefit from it. Okay, that's the same thing about certain sacrificial offerings. Okay? You can't have personal hanah from a korban. You can't have the same thing with an Egla Rufa. V'nikberes bimkom harifaso. And where do we bury the Egla Rufa? You bury the Egla Rufa in the very place where you broke the neck. In the exact place. We know that. There's a specific Xeris HaKosef in the Torah that says, where are we? Perek Yud over here. 1 second. Xeris HaKosef says, Ve'orpu sham. You break its neck there. And the word there is extra because we've been talking about the valley the whole time. So there means there, where you broke the neck, that's where you bury it.
Is this the only time we bury an animal?
It seemed to be. I don't know where else. Usually you burn it. Because every other animal is done on the Mizbeach.
Yeah.
That's a good trivia question.
We bury the blood, but we don't bury
every,
it.
Right? I don't think right?
In any other place you bury
everyone else you bury. You bury it because it's in the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
So you're burying, but this is not in the Beis HaMikdash. You bury it. Okay. Umishiterid lanachal. And as soon as you bring it down into the valley, teyaser b'ano, it already is osur to have any benefits from it. Afal pisha dain lo nerpa. Even though you have not broken the neck, and let's say you never break its neck. For example, Vimesa, what if the cow drops dead on the way down to the valley before you broke its neck?
That's scary.
Or by mistake, somebody shechted it. He brought a guy over and he thought it was a shechting job and it was really a break the neck job. Right? And now the animal's dead. Hareza surabano. You can't have any hano, any pleasure from it, even though normally a treifa animal you could have hano. If an animal stam dies, you could have hano from it. Right? Here you can't. So what do you do with tikaver? And you have to bury it. Why? Because the idea is once that animal goes down the valley, it is already in its living state, is osur bahano. And we don't say, well, if the Bezel would have known it would have died, we wouldn't have made it holy. Once we've put it in the valley, we've kind of designated, we've made it muksa, so to speak, for this issue, and it's as good as gone. And almost nothing is going to change that, but we will see there are some exceptions. Zion, here's an interesting scenario. Nimtzu ha'edim zomamim. If you find the witnesses to be liars, this is permitted in Hano. So we got to explain the case. Kates, in other words, there is a case where you've designated the animal to be an Egla Rufa, and we can undesignate it. How is this? When you have false witnesses. Now, it's a very tricky case here. Kates, I'll give you an example. One witness says, Anira Isi Asahirig. I saw who killed. So what's normally the law at that point? What do it counts as two? We don't break the neck of the Egla Rufa, right? But wait a minute. Uba Shnayim v'hichichushu. Then two guys came along and contradicted him. From Ramalon, they said, Lo Ra'isa. You didn't see it. So now where are we at? We're at right now. We're back to, we have no information, and we're going to take the animal down and break his neck. Therefore, that's what we do. V'hifrishu as Egla. We separated this calf. We've designated it. V'horidulanachal, and you take it down to the valley. Lahar Papim, and you're going to break the neck based on what reason? Those two witnesses that nullified the first guy. Remember, the first guy says, I know we killed him, we don't bring an Egla Rufa, because when there's no doubt. The two guys now question his integrity. Now it brings us back to as if there's no witnesses at all to see anything, and there is a doubt. Now, once you brought the animal down, the Acharkach, now comes another set of witnesses, and Huzam Lushnaim, and they prove that the first two witnesses were liars. The two that said about the one. You got the one guy who says, I saw the killer. The two guy says, you couldn't have seen the killer.
Right.
At this point now, we say, we don't know anything, and we're going to bring an Egla Rufa. Then two guys now contradict those first two guys. Remember, it's one, two, and two. So the two contradict the two. Says, you couldn't have said that guy didn't see it, because you weren't with them over there, but you were there over us somewhere else.
So now we have a murderer.
So now what does it come out? The two have knocked out the two.
Right.
We're left with the one, and the one is saying we know who killed him, and therefore do we need an Eglah Rufa or not?
No.
We don't need an Eglah Rufa.
So they have to come right down into the valley in order to do that.
The Uzma, Shnayim, these two are proof liars. Okay, now, Hareze Muteres Behana. The animal is permitted in Hana. Whoa. Well, how is that going to come into being? It's permitted by Hana. So the Mefarshim say, because when the Bezdin separates them, they separate it with this contingency in mind. In other words, they remember, and we'll see this often, the whole point of the whole Eglah Rufa service is for what reason?
To attract attention.
To attract attention. So you're attracting attention, you're assuming sooner or later some new information will come up. In other words, we're always doing it knowing that we want to attract information. We know we don't know. And the one thing we want this to help us is to know. So it's like we know something. So we're always opening ourselves up for more information so nothing is definitive in the Eglah Arufa world.
Wow.
So if nothing new came up, and as you bring it down, so when you bring down the valley, it's Aser Banah, assuming that nothing changes. So the animal dies, still Aser Banah, even though we didn't break its neck. But if now information comes, because exactly what we wanted to happen, people are talking about it, we're finding out things. Might not be exactly what we were looking for, but we still found something. So the Bezdin is kind of saying, well, at least we know what's happened, and at least a little clearer, and therefore there is what? No need for the Eglah Arufa, because it's not a case where there's any doubt anymore. Then the Aruch HaShulchan brings all, and the same thing would be, Hu Adin Ba'Achila, you could even eat it.
Yeah,
not just Mutar
Ba'Anah. Right,
if you haven't broken its neck, and you haven't killed it, you could even eat it. Okay. Then there's a whole discussion, what if they already broke the neck, and then the guys came? There's a whole discussion back and forth. Do we say, well, it's too late now, because the whole room of Zomim is only Zomim, before the thing happens or not? Then the Rambam says that's only by murder, not by other things. So it's a big issue over there once the neck is broken. A similar halacha is in Ches, similar to this. Now, how about this? So we decided right now we don't know who to kill us. We bring the animal down the valley. We're going to break its neck. But we found the killer. We found him. Mamish, we found the guy. He is the killer. Before the Eglah is to be broken. So what do we do? You let it go and roam in the flocks. And
tired pastures.
There's no problem. And for that matter, you could even use it. You could even use it. Right? Because mission was accomplished. It was mamish accomplished. And everything you wanted to came into being. That's precisely why we wanted it. It accomplished the mission, and therefore we brought it down because we assumed we didn't find the killer. But since it's possible, so Bezdin knows this, so they don't make it a final determination. However, what if Nimtza Achash Nerpa? What if you find the killer only after you broke the neck of the animal? Then Tika Verbim Koma, then you buried in its place. Why shall Hasafek Bo Mitchil? Because it came for a doubtful reason. And Kipra Sveik of Ochla, and it provided the kapara for the suffix. In other words, as long as it did what it did. Darn. We need kapara, because it's a suffix. And when we checked it, when we killed it, it was a suffix. And it provided kapara. Now, but now we found the guy. Okay, that's another step. That's a new thing now. Now we had kapara, but now this guy needs kapara. Now what are you going to do now to the guy? The guy, the murderer. Because we've kind of fixed up the situation. No? Let's say we find the killer after we broke the neck. We still kill him. Why? Because it says, you have to burn out the clean blood. In other words, you've got to still find it. If the killer's found, it doesn't take away the laws that we have to deal with this fellow. Interesting halachas. Okay, next page, Tess. Let's go to finish the chapter. Hanachal, this valley. Now, remember, we said it's supposed to have river. It's supposed to be a river with water, but even if it dries up and it's just it's a river bed without water. So anyway, Hanachal Shenerfa Bo'eglof, the valley where the neck was broken, Aser Bezriya Vavoyel Olam, you can never plant and work it ever.
So how are we going to know that?
To use that. Guess you have to put signs up.
No, but in Eretz Yisrael, let's say it happened.
Yeah, we are Navi. Will come and tell us, won't he? He'll tell us.
Right now, though, I'm sure some of these valleys are being tilled.
Listen, we don't know. We don't know. So what can you do? Mitam Safek, most of the land is not.
Okay.
Most valleys don't have.
Right.
Okay. So when Eliyahu HaNavi will come, he'll tell us, you know. Just like you had when, who was it?
The Arizal
went to places, and there Shon says, here's buried a tzaddik, here's buried a tzaddik. I don't know, there's no stories of him saying, here's an egla rufa, there's an egla rufa. But you can't work there. Shenemar, it says, asher lo yeyaved bo lo yisarei. You should find a place that, it doesn't say that was never worked and never planted, it says, will never be worked and will never be planted. And I guess the same idea, it serves as a memorial. In other words, here's the valley. You can imagine you go on your tiulim with your kids on Cholamoid, and here's the Egla Rufa Valley. This 30 years ago, somebody came. We don't know who got killed and this and that. It's because the whole idea is we want people to be more responsible, so we want to keep those memorials up as long as possible so people are always reminded of this.
It's like Har Gerizim, Har Eval situation.
Yeah, or like that, or Yericho, or things like that. Yes. What if somebody does work right on the land that is affecting the land? Kigon, for example, let's say he plowed or he dug or he planted or he seeded or put a tree in or similar things. He gets malchus. He's transgressing a negative aver and he gets malchus. On the other hand, but you can bring flax there and comb them out. You know, let's say you put the flax on the ground. It's nice and flat. And now you take a comb and you comb out the flax. Or you're drilling holes in rocks that you're putting on the ground. Those cases, you're allowed to do this. Why? It's no different than a guy sewing a garment. It's not work on the land itself. And that's the point. You can't do something to the land, but you can do something on top of the land.
So it could be a workbench. But
it's that's right. It could be a workplace, but not a place that you work the land. That's why it says, lo ye'aved v'lo yizarei. You shall not work and you shall not seed. What's the connection of working to seeding? What's the comparison? Mazria, what do you know about seeding? It's begufa shel karka. It's in the essence of the land. And any other work that's prohibited is only something that is in the body of the land and not on top of the land. Okay, halacha yud.
So that's my farmland and somebody, it's down there. Sorry, Charlie, but I can't use it anymore.
Well,
how big an area though, right? Just where the cows
I don't know. It can't be in the land. You know, but you know what? That means somebody died on your land. You weren't watching so carefully, were you?
No, someone did not.
It was on your property.
No.
He's just saying, what if it was on your property?
No,
what
the valley.
If the roof
the valley.
Was, the valley was on
the
my property.
The valley's on his property.
Well, we take a valley near where the guy got killed.
Yeah.
You know, we don't take a valley 500 miles away. It's the closest.
No, but it could be if that's the nearest city.
Well, usually there's a lot of valleys around, and
and
if there are no valleys, you don't use a valley either. And the main, what if there's no valleys? You don't do it.
Of course you do it.
You do it. So you don't have a valley. Just like it says you have water. What if there's no water? You still do it. So if there's no valley, you still do it. So in other words, it's most likely it's very near where the murder took place. And if it's in your land, it's your fault. And then you should, you know, somebody got killed on your property. And some, so you got to be more concerned. Yud. Let's say there was a city that was close, and you know what? They never got around to bringing an Egla Rufa. They were delinquent in their activities. A guy got killed, they buried him. And you know, we should get around doing that Egla Rufa. It's been 5 years, we haven't brought that. Well, we're still waiting for a calf, you know.
Talking about procrastination.
And it happens. So now what happens? When the central court finds out about this, we go to the sin, so we force them. It's 5-10 years later. Even after many years. Wow. Now you're going to say, wait a minute, but hasn't Yom Kippur passed in between?
Yeah.
And Yom Kippur atones for everything. So no.
Shechayove
Egla Rufa Shavarla Yom Kippurim, that anything that's obliged in an Egla Rufa, even if Yom Kippur has passed, what is the halacha? You have to bring even after Yom Kippurim. And we learned this from the Pasuk, the Torah there talks about where the Chachamim say that Hashem, you should atone for your people Israel, who you have redeemed. What do you mean you have redeemed? What are we talking about? It means we're talking about redeeming people. It affects the Jews, all Jews, and even those you redeemed, even those who left Egypt. In other words, as this Egla Rufa not just atones for the people here, it atones for all of Klal Yisrael. And it atones for any Jew who ever was alive since going out of Egypt. In other words, for some reason, even a Jew who left Egypt, needs atonement for what happened now. Because it must have been something wrong in the earlier generations if a murderer wandered around and did this. Now, certainly people left Egypt, many Yom Kippurs have passed since this Egla Rufa happened, before this ever happened. So they still need atonement. It's called Shekhar all the more, so the city needs some atonement to take care of the things that they did that were wrong. You want to do another two halachas? We didn't do a half an hour yet. All right, it's okay. Do another halacha. The Yetzer Tov wants you to do two more.
Yes, he does.
We only did 25 minutes. Okay, we'll just jump in. We'll do one or two halachas just for the sake of learning another halacha. Okay?
Bring in Mashiach.
It doesn't fit good into the computer because it likes to make it nice and clean till the end of the chapter. But we now go to a new topic. The new topic, there's a Rabbi will tell you straight away what it is. Aleph, mitzvahs asay lasos odem ma'akel legago. It is a positive mitzvah for a person to put a ma'akel, a guardrail on his roof. Shenemar, the Torah says, vasisa ma'akel legagecho. You should make a guardrail for your roof. Vahu, but there is one condition, shi'iya beis dira. It should be a dwelling place. That upstairs should be a place where people are living. Aval beis ha'otzaras, but a place that is a place for storage. Ubeis ha'bokor, or for cattle. Ukiyayitza behem, or similar situations. Eina zakuklo. That's not necessary to bring it. You don't have to have a guardrail in those kinds of situations. And the question is, like, why? So there's a whole machlekes exactly what's going on over here. The Rambam says it has to be a living place, but not other places like that. And there's others who disagree. So some say it depends a lot on the halacha of mezuzah. Where do you have to have a mezuzah? The Rambam holds that the laws of Makkah are dependent on mezuzah. And by mezuzah, there's a machlokas. And the Rambam paskins that you don't have to have a mezuzah in places where people don't live. Now others disagree, and therefore you don't have to have a makkah. He says makkah and mezuzah go together. Now we know many argue, and we hold like those who argue on him, and say even a storage place needs to have a mezuzah. So it would appear they'd need to have a makkah as well. So this is not like halacha, but others say, you know, there's an additional reason, that even if you have to have a mezuzah, it could be you don't have to have a makkah, because what's the whole reason of the makkah? Is so people shouldn't fall and get killed. But if it's basically for storage, and it's rarely used for human beings, or for cows, but human beings, so if a cow falls, you don't make a makkah for a cow.
But he's not going to be on the roof. The cow's not going to go on the roof, he's going to go in the barn.
Well, but what if he's on the roof?
How's he going to get on the roof?
There's bucker, that's what he's saying, there's bucker.
No, it's the storage, it's the roof.
No, but then it, but also, no, it basically says, ubeis ha-bucker, ubeis ha-bucker. It's a cattle barn, it's a cattle barn. So
but
we don't have.
I think we're talking about the roof of the barn.
It seems, well, whatever. But there ain't people. There ain't people there. There ain't people there. Right. And therefore, it's putter from Amaka. Okay. Now, v'chol bay she'en la'arba'amas, arba'amas, and a house that doesn't have a dwelling that's 4 amas squared, putter min Amaka. You don't have to have Amaka. You have a little up on the roof. You have a little hut that's very, very small. That's not needing Amaka because that's not a living condition.
And that doesn't need a
mezuzah. It's too small.
Either.
That's right. Don't need a mezuzah either. Bat beis. Bayish shall stay shutafim. What if a house is owned by two partners? Chayavim b'maka. You're chayavim b'maka. I might have thought, well, really, it has to be one owner. But no, it doesn't matter. Because what's the concern? Shenemer, because it says, ki yipol hanofel menet. We're afraid someone's going to fall. So lo tala el b'noifel. The whole thing depends just on a person falling. It's not depending on, you know, one owner falling. You know, as long as someone can fall and die. So it doesn't make a difference if it's a house that belongs to one person or a house that belongs to partners. The reason to bring this because it's taka machleikas in the Gemara if by partners you need it or not. And the Rambam holds that partners doesn't matter. The main thing is what's the effect that a person can die and anybody can die regardless of his partners or not. So now let's turn to the next page and let's finish this halacha. Im kein, if so, lama nemer gagecha. It says your roof and gagecha is the singular owned by one individual. It says you have to put a makkah for something that's owned by an individual. So what's that? If a partner, not, you think it excludes partners? No, it could exclude something else. Lamad bate knesios bate medrash. It excludes shuls and the houses of learning that are owned by, that many people have access. Lavisha ainam asun ladir. They're not used as a living quarter. So that's what's excluding. Something that's a private living quarter that could be partnered and that's still considered a private living quarter as opposed to a public living quarter. Now here's an interesting case, and we'll end with this. What if you have your house, and there's a Rishus HaRabim that's higher than your house? And if you don't put a rail on your house, no one's going to fall off of your roof. From your roof, they just go right into the Rishus HaRabim. But from Rishus HaRabim, if there's no rail, they could fall from Rishus HaRabim and fly into your roof and get killed by falling into your roof. In other words, not a problem from your house, somebody dying, falling off, but from somebody else, from Rishus HaRabim, falling into your place because there's no guardrail. Would you have to put a guardrail? So the answer is, if the Rishus HaRabim was higher than his roof, you don't have to put in a maka to prevent somebody else from falling in. Because look what the Torah says. Ki pol hanofel mimenu. We're afraid lest someone fall from it. Velo letocho, but not onto it. It's not my problem. Whose problem is it? The city's problem. The Bezdin's problem. They have to create the situation that people don't fall into my property. I don't have to make sure that people don't fall into mine.